Hello and welcome everyone into the Inside the UFL podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Dorr, writer and creator of Making It Inside the UFL. Today with me, I have a very special guest who is someone that is an expert in the football field, but also someone that is my father. I'd like to welcome in Jason Dorr. He has a background in coaching of 17 years of being a high school football coach at many different programs and an avid football fan his entire life. How you doing, Dad?
I'm doing pretty well, Tyler. How are you doing today?
Without further ado, I'm good. I'm ready to talk some UFL,
so
some
obviously
spring football.
The United Football League started this year. It's their inaugural season. It's a combination of the XFL and the UFL. So I wanted to ask you, like, what do you like about the UFL this year? What have you noticed about the UFL?
So I'll start off with saying I was actually a little leery of them joining the leagues. I thought they were pretty good independently, but I get the financial end. You have to do what you have to do to survive. What I like about it is you get to see a lot more effort players. Like in the NFL, well, it's much more polished and obviously they have more talent, but they take it for granted and they're out there, they're playing, but they're not putting everything out on the table. In the UFL, the players are doing that every single play. There is no holding back. They're going all in, all out, just like college.
Why should fans want to go to the UFL?
You know, the atmosphere is also, and we've seen it, we've gone to a few games, there's less of that established passion. Like, if we went to a Giant game, the whole game, we're on edge. We might be going crazy, but we're on edge. You go to a UFL game, and everyone is having fun. And I think that there's something to be said about that, that people are going there, and while some may be fans, it's all about the fun. And the players are all in. They're trying to prove themselves. And I think that makes for a pretty entertaining thing. So I do think it's sustainable. I think they have to be very careful about where they place them to keep it sustainable, where they place teams.
Yeah, and there's certainly many avenues that it could go into with expansion probably on the horizon, and you don't have to pay $200 to go to a UFL game. We went to the DC Defenders week one last year, and it was $25 each, and it was pretty good as a product, I would think, if you agree with me here, that it was worth the value. What do you think, like, economically, would it be worth it?
Yes, I agree with you also with that. And being the one paying for the tickets, that is a stress element that's added to it. I mean, no one wants to lay out $400 to go see a game and when you don't know what you're going to get. Whereas if you're spending $60 to go to a UFL game, you're not walking in the stadium already stressed out. Makes it just more fun because you could also, hey, you want to get something to eat? Okay, I have money to get something to eat. You want to get something to drink? Sure, no problem. You know, it makes it a more fun experience.
Yeah, so you think that the UFL is definitely sustainable. You want to talk more about, like, how you think they should address possibly expanding and what they need to do to stick around?
Well, I mean, I'm not an expert, but I would imagine they need to get on the phones and put feet on the ground and really check into the area what kind of interest there is. And I mean, I've said this to you before. I can't believe they took the teams away from New Jersey. Like, you're talking about one of the top markets in the country, in the New York, New Jersey area, and huge football fans, but there's no team here.
Yeah.
You know, which to me is crazy. I know we were season ticket holders of the XFL, and then COVID shut that down. But, you know, the Generals were a longtime standing team for New Jersey way back in the day. And I know you weren't alive for it, but I was. I was in high school when the original USFL was around. And it was fun. You know? So to not have a team here, to me, is crazy. I don't really understand that. But also looking into areas that, you know, where college is their only game, putting a pro team in those areas, especially near a college, you're going to get the college crowd, which is what you want. And it enables those kids to go see games. I mean, one of the most fun, I think it was a thorn in the side of the security there, but the most fun tradition I think I saw was the beer cup snake. That thing was awesome. And people had so much fun making them. And, you know, it was a social event because you had to go and talk to people, which nobody does anymore.
Yeah, and it really added to the atmosphere 100%. We were there when they were throwing lemons on the field when they banned the beer snake, so that was a lot of fun, certainly, and I agree 100%. And they're looking to add, they filed for the trademarks, my newest article, for Canton and Nashville, but you've seen it in Birmingham, where a lot of Auburn, UAB fans, and Alabama fans in general would show up to the games. They've had one of the best of the spring, fan atmospheres in terms of people showing up to games. So that's certainly a step in the right direction. You got to be careful in what you place these teams in. I can speak for both of us when I say that we hope that there's a team in New Jersey either next year or the next 2 years, because I know our butts will be at every game possible there. But moving really to the play side of things, so we spoke a little bit about the NFL kind of using this as a minor league, but what do you think of the play? Is it up to par? Like, where would you put the play that you've seen so far?
Well, as always, and as the case always with football, it doesn't matter which level you're playing or coaching at, defense is always ahead of the offense. So when they're coming out and playing, and I remember saying this to you, it's like, oh my God, the offense is so terrible. But the defense was lighting it up. And that's just because of the time it takes to develop. And as the seasons have gone along, you've seen offensive play has gotten better and better. The one thing I feel might be lacking is the quarterback play. I don't feel like that is up to par. And I would like to see the coaches get a little more imaginative for the O lineman, because offensive line is something that's always overlooked. And the NFL is starving for good quality, not only backups and utility guys, but starters. It's always the high profile guys that are getting drafted into the NFL and they don't work out. And you don't have football without offensive line. It doesn't exist. And you could take a mediocre quarterback, put him behind a great line, he's going to look like a Hall of Famer.
Do you think the UFL has the capability to be able to kind of manufacture the offensive line?
Yes, because I think the strength that I've seen in the UFL is the offensive defensive line play. That's where I'm saying I think the coaches need to be more imaginative, to showcase that more. Get guys out in space, make them prove that they can make those blocks. The quarterbacks, from what I've seen, can't sit back there. They're not pocket passers from what I've seen. So getting the guards pulling, going with them, throwing a little wing tee style into it, a little waggle out there. It allows the linemen to prove their athleticism, but it also helps the quarterbacks out. And because the quarterbacks now will have cleaner pockets to throw or through cleaner vision, it's going to help out the receivers. Also, the NFL is dying for running backs that can block. You want to do that? Get again, same thing. Roll out the quarterback. Get them out there. Have the running backs blocking in space. They're going to be mismatched sometimes. You're going to have to block a linebacker, sometimes a D end. Well, you need to do that in the NFL. So let them go and prove it. Roll them out. Get them in motion. Get a little jet motion to them. Get them out there and have to do kickouts and maybe a chip and release. Which is also big in the NFL. You chip the edge, you're helping out your left tackle, you chip and you go out into pattern. These are all ways I think they can prove it. And I think that'll come. As coaches get more and more comfortable with it, I think they're going to get more and more imaginative. Right now, and especially because, there is turnover, it's always about midseason before the coach really knows his team. And I think that'll be better. I got to think there are football minds there that can figure this out. They need to spend more time. The teams need to spend more time together. Not necessarily hitting, but working on things.
Yeah, learning the playbook, getting together. They had 3 weeks of training camp
Right. It's
before it started.
just not enough. That wouldn't be enough. I would be upset with that with football in high school.
Yeah, and these are guys that are looking to make the jump to the NFL. Where do you think the future is going for the UFL? What do you think it holds for them?
I do envision it myself. I don't know that they fully share it. I think they do know that they are relying on the NFL, but I see it as a gap, that gap filler, because turnover is so big with football. Let's face it is a very, very dangerous sport to play. And no matter how you want to clean up those rules, and I hope they don't do more because you want to keep the game, and it's a contact sport. It's going to happen. You need guys to fill that gap. So what better way to do it than have another league where the NFL can just say, okay, this guy, that guy, we're just picking him out. Because the draft, well, it's all fun and everything. We watch the draft and talk about it. It's a crapshoot. And they talk about it all the time. Guys that are picked in the top 10 in the first round, a lot of them don't even make the team. They don't sign a second contract. So it's literally a crapshoot.
Do you think that the UFL would be able to like sign a contract with the NFL? Do you think that's realistic to where it actually becomes that minor league system similar to the MLB?
Right. I've thought about that. And yes, I do. But they have to prove their value to the NFL. The NFL has to be getting every year a good amount of players coming out of there to where they say, you know what, it's worthwhile for us to invest in this to keep it around. It can't be like two or three guys that are making a roster. It has to be, I'd say, 10 to 12, and some of them being significant. And I think they can do it. Say you didn't grow early, or you didn't play for a good high school team. And not that, because I'm not trying to knock the school, I'm just throwing it out there. Say you end up on Akron for college. Well, nobody's going to see you, and it's not a particularly strong team typically. So what do you do? You didn't get drafted, free agency, you know, maybe you didn't get signed. You go to the UFL and you prove you can play. Now all of a sudden you're on everyone's radar.
Yeah.
And that's how you can get picked in.
I mean, even we take a guy like Brock Purdy, he was the last pick of the NFL draft. Like guys that go undrafted, about 80% of an NFL roster is guys that go undrafted or fifth, sixth, seventh round picks. So it definitely makes sense that there could be a transition period like that for the UFL. So just with some final thoughts, what do you think? What are you looking forward to for the rest of the NFL UFL season of 2024? What are you looking forward to?
Well, again, improving play. I like it. I'd like to see a little more parity. I feel like the top teams are obvious in the UFL right now. I'd like to see the other teams get it together more and be a little more competitive. You know, you don't want to know who's going to win it midseason. So I'd like to see them do that. And I think they'll figure that out. I think the more teams you get, the more that'll spread around. You know, not one or two teams could be loaded. But just an aside, I mean, I heard the ESPN's predictions of the DC Defenders were the team. Well, guess what?
Yeah.
That's just proof of it. They're not the team. They're good, but they're not the team. And that's just goes to my point. It's hard to get it right until you've seen the players in the new roles. That's why the draft is so fallible. That's why it's more, I mean, you're better off getting drafted in the third round and on in the NFL than you are before that, because you're more likely to make the team.
Yeah.
And that's just the way the statistics have shown out. And that's what the UFL is to me too. It's for those guys that didn't get the good look. They're going to go out there and prove it. You know, they're going to get more parity, and, you know, hopefully it balances out. You know, I think it will help if you get some better quarterback play, but I mean, that may be coaching too. And I mean, you throw in there too, your opinion. You know me, I like to run the ball, run. You know, the ball would never be there ever if it was up to me, but I'm a line guy. So that makes sense.
The quarterback position is one of the hardest to be able to nail down, especially at every level. It's not, you could be the most talented guy in the world, but not have it between the ears and not be able to run the offense well enough to get the team to where it wants to go. And hopefully the UFL will be able to find some quarterback success, and maybe they expand to even taking kids before they're draft eligible out of college, which is something that we saw in 2019 with Kenny Robinson. He ended up getting drafted by the Panthers after playing on the Battle Hawks, so he was drafted out of St. Louis because he came his sophomore year of college to St. Louis, played a year, and then got drafted there. But it'll be interesting to see something that becomes the case.
Also, something that they haven't tapped it yet. I don't know why, but the European leagues, there are kids coming out of college playing in Europe that, you know, they can start to compete with that and bring some of those kids back.
Yeah, I've had a couple teammates actually play in Europe. Not necessarily.
Yeah, I did as well. Teammate of mine played safety in Germany for, I think, 10 years after college.
Yeah. So it's definitely an untapped valve there for potential talent. and we'll see if they get there. Unfortunately, we'll have to touch on that in another episode. This is all the time that we have to get today. Thank you, Dad, for coming on. Always love your insight. And best of luck to you as we continue watching the UFL, and make sure everyone out there, all our listeners out there, to follow Making It Inside the UFL, the blog, and on Twitter at Inside the UFL. I am your host, Tyler Doerr. Thank you guys, everyone, for listening, and thank you, Dad, for coming on.
No problem.